This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue-collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Whether you're hunting the back 40 or chasing game deep in the backcountry, the all-new Razor Guide Pack from Outdoor Edge has it all. Coming in at only 12 ounces and in a premium wax canvas roll pack for compact storage and travel, the Razor Guide Pack is 7 blades in total, including a 5-inch replaceable blade folding knife, a 3-inch replaceable blade caping knife, and the flip and zip saw for wood or bone. For more information, visit OutdoorEdge.com.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Close your eyes, exhale, feel your body relax, and let go of whatever you're carrying today.
Well, I'm letting go of the worry that I wouldn't get my new contacts in time for this class. I got them delivered free from 1-800-CONTACTS. Oh my gosh, they're so fast.
And breathe.
Oh, sorry. I almost couldn't breathe when I saw the discount they gave me on my first order. Oh, sorry. Namaste.
Visit 1-800-CONTACTS.com today to save on your first order.
1-800-CONTACTS.
How many discounts does USAA auto insurance offer? Too many to say here. Multi-vehicle discount, safe driver discount, new vehicle discount, storage discount, legacy.
How many discounts will you stack up? Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/auto discounts. Restrictions apply.
Welcome to Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. We got a full table tonight, I guess. I don't know. Halfway full. Got Nathan. Got me. Got Andy. Yep. And we got returning guests.
We got Pat. We got Pat. Pat's here.
We got Pat.
I am here.
Andy, you should have just taken back over.
Do I need to take my job back?
That was your worst
effort.
Nice
if you did something around here.
Jesus Christ. And there it is.
Okay.
Took 35 seconds. 35 seconds. How's everybody doing tonight?
I'd be a lot better if, you know, daylight savings thing wasn't a thing.
Be a lot better if kids knew it was daylight savings.
Really screws your hunting.
It does. Screws me pretty bad.
It screws me in one way, but actually helps me in another, because then I'm done earlier in the evening to help out with picking kids up from things.
Yeah.
But it screws me because I can't pick the kids up from school anymore. Because if I do that, I'm not getting out there till 4 o'clock and it gets dark at 5:30.
Right.
I mean, I guess that's better than not hunting, but I don't like being out there right at prime time, you know, getting out there right around prime time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, if I rush from work to the stand, I'd maybe have 30 minutes of daylight.
Right.
Shooting light anyways.
Patrick.
So, what's up?
What's going on, buddy?
Nothing. Chilling.
We're going to do a mid-season recap. We've done that pretty much every year. I think we usually do it right before rifle season or something.
We got 3 days left. We're recording this. We got 3 days left.
Yeah, we're recording this November
8th. There's still time to make it happen. Before rifle season.
Okay. Everyone's going to hear this the Tuesday after rifle season started.
During
rifle season, yeah. So hopefully by then all four of us have done something. But as of now, we have not.
Come close.
We've had some really cool stuff happen, but we just haven't been able to seal the deal. So that's what we're going to do today. We're going to do a mid-season recap and just kind of BS about it.
It's a good thing people don't listen to this podcast because we're good hunters.
It's a good thing that we can get a hold of people that actually know what they're doing.
Yeah. Hey, we as a group have killed every damn year.
Yeah.
So this season's still young. Prior to this year, we've all had something dead before now.
This is the
latest we haven't killed.
Actually, I'm going to jinx myself, but tomorrow is typically my day. The Wednesday before rifle season, for 3 years, I've killed something.
Yeah, you did last year.
No, last year was on Monday.
That was good. Rifle season I killed on Monday.
No, last year,
bow season. Oh, it was Monday to Monday, wasn't it?
I was going
to
say,
killed Monday, and I returned around, and I killed another Monday.
Yeah.
Monday you killed, Thursday was Veterans Day, you came to the Veterans Day.
Yep.
I killed, and then they killed Saturday.
Yeah. That's right. And then the year before that, I killed archery Monday, rifle season Saturday, so I was 6 days apart the year before that. Micah?
It's been a while.
It's a bit of a dry spell. A little bit. Not because he's a bad hunter, because he gets the least amount of time out of all of us.
And I'm picky.
2018.
I mean, I've killed deer since then.
Right.
Bucks.
I was referring to your big one.
Yeah.
Me and you both killed.
All of us killed.
All of us killed real nice ones that year.
Yeah. 18, the year before.
Pat Chicken said no.
Pat's like, no. No, I didn't. No,
he said, y'all shut up.
That was the year before we started our podcast, mm-hmm. I think, right?
Well, that was the year that caused the idea of the podcast.
That's true, yeah, because that deer, and then you tagged out, I tagged out. Russell killed a freaking giant.
Yeah, that river monster, whatever his name is.
Yep.
Grant killed one.
Grant killed one. Garen kill one?
Garen killed that one with an arrow in its neck.
Yep.
Yeah. I have a picture from when we were jacking around Dead to Rights outdoors, whatever it was. We didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
I have a picture of a collage of everyone. Yep. Russell killed an elk that same year.
Yes, a bull.
Yep.
Pat was the only one that didn't have something. But you actually had...
In the closet, I had Pat with a coyote. I don't think he shot the coyote.
You did shoot something that
I shot
year.
At that coyote.
We all did.
We all shot that coyote.
We don't know who killed that coyote.
No, I know what finished it.
Sorry.
But, yeah, I don't know how we got on that. But
so mid-season recap.
We are far from being skunked, but... It's been a weird year for all of us, kind of. For me, it's been weird. For Micah, it's even been weird because, like, last year, let's just do this. Last year, if you would have said Micah's property that he hunts, bow hunting wise, had more shooters than ours, that none of us would have believed you, right? But, like, this year,
probably
it's different.
I mean, I don't know. Like,
he's got some good deer.
Andy's always had.
Well, Andy's
always had good deer.
Andy's always had good deer.
Well, I'm just stating facts here. I've had potential for good deer and, like, up and comers. This year,
they're comers.
There's only one. There's only
they're
one.
No longer up.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. There's only one that's returned that I know of for sure that was from last year. But I've had other ones come in that are definitely shooters. So I've got a handful.
So that's going to be our show today. Let's run through our sponsors right quick. We got Athlon Optics, ridiculously good optics. I said that correctly. Check them out, Athlon Optics.
Ridiculously good price.
Yep. Is that okay? Thank you.
Yep.
Check them out, athlonoptics.com. We got Camo Fire and Black Ovis, camofire.com. Download the app for sure. And then blackovis.com. Use our code MWW10 for 10% off. Go get you some gear. Huntworth Gear. Huntworthgear.com. Use our code MWW15 for 15% off.
I think right now they got a 20% off sale running, if I'm not mistaken.
And I'm pretty sure if you spend over $200, it was free shipping. I saw that.
I think that's right. Yeah. I think that's right.
You're going to want to get that heat boost.
Yeah. If you don't have if you don't have some cold weather gear, check out the heat boost.
Opening weekend, it's going to be cold. I'm going to be wearing it.
If you don't chew big red gum.
That's right.
Alps Outdoors. Use the code WoodsWater. For 30% off. They've been huge supporters of the youth hunt that just got over in our area. And
local Missouri company. Great packs. Great furniture. They call it furniture on their website. Chairs.
I'll be sitting on my tri-leg stool this weekend.
Yep. I've been looking at some furniture for my blind. Looking at some blind chairs.
They got a lot nicer chairs than this tri-leg stool, too.
Yeah, if you're going to have like a more of a permanent blind situation.
Right. Yep. So check them out, Zamberland boots. I've been rocking my, which you know I got two, you know I got the Crestas and the
Lynx or whatever.
The Lynx.
Lynx.
Which one do y'all think I've been running?
I'm gonna say the Crestas.
I've been running the Lynx all damn deer season.
Really? Those Crestas, I don't know. I have the tall Crestas and I like mine, but I've been running those Vias. Yeah, whatever they are.
Yeah.
Start with a V.
I think I'm going to break out my winter boots come this weekend.
This weekend? Ooh, that'd be a good idea.
I haven't done that yet. Do have something we want to mention on Zamberland as well. They have got a holiday sale going on right now. Let me see if I can get this straight. You can save 20% on the Seguros and the Storm Pros by using the code HOLIDAY, in all caps, it sounds like. There's also more select styles that will be added to the mix starting on November 17th.
So as you get closer to...
So on select styles, you can you can save 20%. The sale ends on December 1st. You can also use the code... blah, blah, blah.
Don't you have those storms?
No, none of us do.
No?
People can use the code HOLIDAY to save 20% off those select styles and an additional 20% off anything that's already on sale.
Oh.
That's 40. Just
pretty good savings.
If you're looking for some good boots, you can't beat that deal right there.
Yep. So check them out at ZamberlandUSA.com. And last but not least, our buddy Dustin Williams. Hopefully he's slaying right now. Habitat Works. I know he's going to be getting into the deer woods for sure. I've been following his social medias, and he is out there.
Which is kind of funny because, not really funny, but ironic. We were just talking before we started recording. All of us need to do some more preparation for We're getting into some of our stands that we did not get in and do as much work this year as we probably should have, give or take.
Yep.
And our shooting lanes, we've run into instances like Nate was talking about. We've had crazy years, instances of, you know, I hit a tree branch on a deer. I shot at one and hit a tree branch. Just not having shots. You guys had a situation. I'm sure we'll get into stories and stuff. But
yeah, I'm sure we will.
You know, check out Dustin Williams. He can help you kind of plan
stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. Habitat Works. Give him a call, 816-752-7390. Mention us when you call. You get 15% off any of his services, which include things like timber stand improvement, forestry mulching, prescribed fires. Bad time of year to do that.
Yes.
Mapping and planning. He's in St. Joe area, so give him a call and see if he'll come out to you. That's our sponsors. Want to thank them for everything they do for us. Now let's get into the show.
That was it, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, we don't need to do like the whole outro. Just keep going.
Patrick, I feel like you've been.
See you later.
I think you've been getting out in the woods quite a bit this year, haven't you?
I've been, from the sounds of it, probably more than anyone.
I bet you have.
This group, but there's been a lot of hours, and I've seen a lot of deer. a lot of does. Seen the shooters. The big one I've seen hunting twice, all within bow range, but once was after shooting light. I just saw a body walk out on the edge, field edge, and I pulled up my binoculars, and I was like, oh, shit, that's him.
Yeah.
But, you know, couldn't do anything about it. And then the first time I saw him.
Could you do anything about that?
No, he just said it was after shooting light.
It was after shooting light. But the first time I saw him was.
He has what we would call morals, Micah.
First time I saw him was when that first cold snap we got this fall.
And God, that feels like it was like 2 months ago, yeah, and now it's back to 70.
Yeah, but I'm not allowed to kill coyotes on that farm right now, and that's going to change because they keep ruining my hunts. But, no, I saw him on the field edge. He was probably 4 steps away from my shooting lane, and he just stops and turns around and walks right back in the timber away from me. I'm like, crap.
You know about those coyotes, I heard this saying. It's a really deep saying that would work perfectly in this case. You know, Mama said told me not to get a tattoo of Roy Orbison on my ass. What Mama doesn't know doesn't hurt her.
They were tournament dogs.
that's what I was told. They were tournament dogs. And the two I saw Saturday, those are definitely tournament dogs. They would probably win big dog.
They're going to win dead dog next time you see them.
Y'all don't worry about them dogs. You just leave them pups alone now.
But
you just drop that bag of old Roy off over there.
Do what I said.
No, a lot of deer movement. Picture-wise, haven't had a lot, but I've been seeing them in person. I've been getting phone calls, which is always good. Hey, this is where they are. Well, having to be on the opposite side of the farm that I'm hunting. So ventured into that today.
And you haven't really hunted over in that area much, have you?
Never.
Okay.
I think I've walked over there once turkey hunting. Mm-hmm. Just
because there's just not a lot of timber over there.
Right. It's so wide open. And there's just a couple little draws, and it butts up to a neighbor.
Ground hunting time.
That's probably what's
I'm telling
happening.
You, Zach Farrenbaugh's got me so jacked on. I've hunted from the ground this year as much as I've hunted in a tree stand now.
Yeah.
Andy and I talked about it on the way over here. There's a little creek that
there's some teetery.
Mm-hmm.
As long as it doesn't rain too much Thursday,
you could get up in there.
It's going to come into play.
Yeah.
The viper hood's coming out, and I'm staying in the brush more than likely. Because two things hurt me. One, there's so much new growth on the edge
mm-hmm.
that I have to get up high in the tree.
Yeah.
And that hurts me because I'm scared of heights. So.
I get you. Yeah.
There's that, but I don't know. We'll give it a shot and see what happens.
So have you noticed more movement the last few weeks? Because you, like you were saying, you hunt a lot. And I would venture to guess you probably hunted. I usually hunt more than I think everybody, but this year definitely haven't.
Right.
I think I've still hunted quite a bit, but sounds like you're out a lot. Have you noticed more in the last few weeks? You know, with the rut ramping up, has it helped you? Has it hurt you? You know, every property has different things that happens when the rut happens. How's yours looking?
Probably the last week and a half has slowed down a lot, but I don't think like young bucks, you know, little forks and little basket racks.
Right.
They've been chasing and pushing does pretty hard. I hadn't seen the mature ones, but also the hunting pressure is higher this year than it has been in the past because of what's there. I mean, I've seen the neighbor's trail cameras.
Other people know it's there too.
Right. Walking the edge of the property line, I can drop down into while I walk through a gap. There's a 30-yard gap there between.
The downside of cell cams.
Right.
The neighbors have them.
Yeah. Sons of bitches.
So, I mean, there's my food plot and a camera and 35 yards away on the neighbor's property because they kind of butt up is the neighbor's trail camera, which where he has it, I told Andy, props to him. That is the perfect placement. They have cover where they're coming from, to and from. And, I mean, I don't know why I never thought of putting anything back on the edge there to look there. But, I mean, the food plot's 10 yards away. Right. So, it's kind of one of those things. But good deer. I got high hopes for this weekend at least. We'll see what happens. Weather's going to be good.
I hadn't even looked at the weather yet, and it's supposed to be cold.
Like 14, low of 14.
Thursday night is going to drop out, and so Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are all going to be
cold. I'm going to wear my insulated boots finally.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
Me too.
Because it hasn't been cold enough.
No.
For me to have to mess with them.
I'll tell you, last Saturday morning was freaking cold.
I hunted last Saturday morning.
In the rain? In the 30-mile-an-hour winds?
Because
it was cold.
Which day did I hunt?
We hunted Sunday.
Maybe it was Sunday morning.
Yeah, we hunted Sunday morning. Maybe I didn't Saturday. Together. I don't know. I didn't get to hunt Saturday, but I hunted Sunday.
Because Saturday
I hunted Saturday night. Yeah, maybe that's it. Last year I did a really good job of keeping a log of all my hunts. I'm not doing that at all this year. Like, not a single log. I did better last year because, I mean, I guess I can just get into it, but I had deer I was after last year.
You had target deer.
And this year there's deer that I've seen on camera throughout the summer here and there, but not near as like I did last year, and then none of them been around for a long time, so I kind of forgot the damn names I even gave them. So it's just different because this last year I kept a log because I wanted to know what he was doing.
Right.
Those nights I saw him. So I would like keep a log every night I saw him, what he was doing, every time he was on a trail cam, like what time, what he was doing. I'm not doing that this year.
And also, I guess what affects the movement where I'm at is crops finally came out like a week ago. They're all out.
Does that hurt you or help you, you think?
I don't think it hurt me. I don't think it hurts me so much, but because I'm hunting a pinch point, they now
it's not as pinchy.
Everything's opened up now.
They way to go, Dick.
Cut a little bit more.
Yeah, welcome. I think it just causes it to change. I don't know if it hurts or helps, but their patterns change.
Yeah.
To where if you had a pattern, so I guess it hurt you in the fact of their pattern.
Now you just got to figure out the new pattern.
Right. Yeah, he has a short amount of time to figure it out again. Yeah.
And then it went through that phase this week, like 3 or 4 days with absolutely no pictures whatsoever. And I'd always get something.
Right.
A doe's moving through, you know, something was moving through all the time. And then it poof went away. But they changed their patterns of where they're moving. And
right.
That and the fact that the amount of bobcats I have seen this year is ridiculous.
Dude, we didn't even tell the story. We'll tell it when we get to our stuff. Yeah. But we had a bobcat encounter last weekend, too, that was cool.
Really cool.
That's the first one I've seen this year. But
right.
I've gotten one on camera, and then we saw it was probably the same one. But
I showed you all that picture of that one on camera at my place. I haven't seen the bobcat itself.
Oh, yeah, I'll the one standing up on the log.
Yeah, I'll pull it up as you guys are talking. It's a cool-ass picture. But I don't think that hurts the deer. Especially bobcats. I don't think they mess with deer that much.
I don't think so.
I know coyotes will harass them. But
what bothers me is one of the bobcats are harassing turkeys. Because I've noticed if the turkeys are calm and in the field, the deer will be right out there with them. But if a turkey spooks, the deer go with it.
Look at what the hell? It's not.
That's a raccoon.
I know. That's not the picture I pulled up.
That's a big-ass raccoon.
What the hell? It's right there. Let me do it again.
I had a guy stop me and show me a picture of this doe.
Isn't that a cool picture?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Up on that
bobcat
log.
Bobcat crawling up on the log.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
Showed a picture of doe. I'm like, oh, cool. Yeah, got a doe on camera. He's like, watch this. And it was like 11:45. And he's next picture, 11:47. The doe is there. And like it's like his legs out like it's panicked. And there's two coyotes. Next picture, one coyote hanging from the doe's neck, the other from its butt. They took it down on camera.
Oh, wow.
On trail camera.
And killed her.
And killed it. He said by 5 o'clock, I think, that night. No, sorry, that was 11, like midnight. He said by 2 o'clock that night, there were 7 coyotes on that doe.
That's crazy.
Wow. How come they don't finish it?
What do you mean?
So I've noticed lately, Dan Johnson, the owner of our network, right. He's got a crazy freaking story coming up, by the way. Y'all heard anything about his? I'll give you the Cliff's Notes version. He shot a buck. Pretty sure he got it in the liver. So he backed out, called a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Next morning, dog comes in, finds a deer, a buck, a fresh dead buck. mm-hmm. not the buck he shot with his bow.
Oh, man.
He's like, I didn't shoot this buck. A decent buck, right? Find no holes in it, nothing.
Right.
Dead within the last 12 hours. Dog leaves, and it was about half eaten by coyotes.
Yeah.
Dog leaves. He comes back to the property just to walk it himself, finds a tiny little speck of blood, walks in a straight line. His deer he killed right there, also half eaten by coyotes.
Hmm.
Why do they leave? Why do they leave some meat?
You know what I'm saying? They eat till they're full. And
yeah. But why don't they come back? You know,
in the night. But there's a certain part that's they like the soft tissue better. They start, uh-huh. I mean, they start around the butthole and they, you know, work their way from there.
Who doesn't? Am I right?
Just kidding.
Can't take me anywhere. I'm sorry.
No, we can't. We literally can't. But I mean, they eat certain parts every time. If you notice, like,
you know,
it's dead, always the hindquarters. Right?
Dead cattle, though. I mean, same way. They start in the same spot on every animal, and I think they just get to certain spots. And
once they get full, they leave. And if I mean,
are they picky eaters at times?
I don't think so.
Like, if it
depends on the coyote, probably.
If they're starving, I guess it doesn't matter.
I mean, just like there's some people, they eat a steak and they'll cut the fat off, leave it next to the edge of the plate.
And those other people we'd like to call stupid.
We don't invite those people.
You marry those people so you get all the good parts.
I'm set then.
Hey, I'll tell you what, the best part about the Blackstone and my smoker, when I cook steaks, I cut everybody's meat up for them. So guess what I do? I just sit there and like that cut. I usually eat my fill of the steak while I'm cutting everybody else's up for them. It's terrific. It's literally the best thing about cooking steaks. This did really, really good the other night on the Blackstone.
Did almost you know what
I said? Yeah, they almost. I think it was she put some seasoning on the outside, and it almost burnt the outside of the steaks.
And I think there's people that pay extra for that.
The seasoning. But, like, it turned out really good because it was crispy a little bit on the outside. It
leaves a nice crust.
But I was worried it was going to.
What'd you do? What'd you have them do?
I just asked them.
Yeah, medium to high heat. I say 2.5 to 3 minutes each side. S&P down the hatch.
All right for me.
S&P down the hatch.
Yeah.
But
I wish I could remember the rest of that.
It was more like 4 minutes for me because he likes his stuff rare.
Yeah.
And I'm more of a medium.
5 minutes.
And my wife is more of a...
No S&P.
Charcoal briquette type of person, so I usually, like, stop them around 145.
Yeah, that's way too far.
Yeah, but it keeps her happy. Keeps her happy. And
145.
I told my wife, like, because I'm...
Check the temperature?
Yeah.
It's beef. Just
I do. I check the temperature. I do.
If I cook mine medium rare most of the time, if she wants it more done, she can put that crap in the microwave. Because I'm not gonna ruin a steak. If she wants to ruin it, that's up to her.
But well, man, good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
I mean, all of us, obviously. But you're gonna be hunting it all between now and then.
Friday, I have Friday off.
Nice.
And maybe Thursday night before I go bowl. Depends on what the weather does.
My hope is Thursday.
Supposed to be rainy, I think.
It's not supposed to rain till Thursday later. So, but the wind's supposed to shift Thursday afternoon based on deer cast. And I'm hoping it shifts early enough that I can get out to a spot on the farm that I'm hoping to go to and before the rain. Because maybe they'll be moving. But we'll see. How about you, Micah? I have high hopes for you, man. Because you have
it should happen. It should.
I've said it several times. If you don't kill a good deer this year, I'm going to be pissed at you.
Yeah, it's going to suck real bad. Somebody that is hunting around me is going to kill a good deer. I just know it. It might not be me, but somebody is. Because I got a few dandies that are out there. But this year, I mean, I've gone out a fair amount. It's definitely going to come to a halt. I'm pretty much down to the weekends now, just with the way the time changed and all that.
Or mornings, if you can swing it.
I am going to go Friday morning. I usually take my daughter to school, but I told the wife, hey, Friday, you're going to have to take her to school because I'm going out before work. And but
I'm sure, that's exactly how that conversation went.
No, she was actually really cool with it. She's like, no, that's fine.
Yeah, but that's not how that. You didn't be like, hey, listen, Friday morning, you're going to have to take Brinley to school.
No. I sat down, I gave her these puppy dog eyes, and I was like, babe, do you think you could find it in your soul to take Brinley to school Friday? She's like, yeah, I can do that. Okay, sweet. So,
but the way he tells all his buddies are, I looked that woman dead in her eye sockets.
I did not.
And I was like.
You guys haven't seen Key and Peele. Look it up.
You know exactly.
It's one of the most hilarious sketches of all time.
But where was I? So, anyways, been hunting quite a few times. I've only seen deer 99% of the time I've sat. Most of them does, maybe little dinkers. Got a lot of good ones on camera. Finally, I guess we could just get into. Well,
you did have the one night, which you've already told the story on the show, where you had a shooter coming
in. I had one of my shooters come in, and someone screwed that up for me. You know, but that's just the way it goes. And then, but Sunday, you and I actually hunted together. I was a nice person. You haven't had anything on camera. I was like, hey, I'm going out Sunday.
To be fair. I've taken you hunting with me before.
You got tired of listening to his pity party text. Poor me, because that shit was getting old.
I'm pretty sure anytime I've hunted with you, I don't think I actually had an opportunity to kill anything. I think I just went just to go. Like, you never said, yeah, if a big deer comes in, you can shoot it.
I think it was implied.
I don't think it was.
I didn't need to tell you.
Because I don't think it was.
It was, 100%.
I can only think of two times.
It's not my fault.
Did he allow you to take a weapon?
Yeah, he had his bow with him.
Then it's implied.
But we sat together. And it ain't like he's going to give me first dibs, I don't think.
That's why you kick his ass out of the stand.
Because that would benefit us.
What happened?
Maybe he fell on it.
But
I was reading
it. Anyways, so Sunday, Friday, what was that? Saturday night. Yeah, Saturday night, I was mad at myself. Because I didn't go hunting Saturday. The wife had some stuff to do. I couldn't make it out. I started getting pictures of this new buck that showed up. Hell of a deer. Solid, solid deer. So I got really stoked. I asked Nathan. He come with me Sunday morning. We go out there Sunday. I put him in one stand. I go to the other. Sitting out there. Around what time was it, you think?
Oh, man. It was
8-ish? 7? 7 something?
Was that before daylight savings?
No, it was the day of. So it would have been, I think it was around 7 something.
Yeah, it was probably only 30 minutes after first light, I'd say.
Yeah.
Not long. We had already seen several deer.
Yeah.
Before
you
then.
Did, actually. You saw more than I did.
Yeah, I practice killed the shit out of that little dink.
You rattled them in.
I've been practice killing the hell out of deer this year. Anybody want to know, like, do I need to explain what that means to the listeners?
You pull up on them.
Oh, yeah. I basically draw my bow and then, like, go through the art of the whole process.
Yeah.
But what's funny is I got to be like, don't you pull this freaking trigger, because I'm doing the whole thing practicing. Of course, I keep my finger behind my release, but you know, it's just natural for you to go to that next step. So I got to remember to tell myself, don't you freaking,
you know, shoot me like, oh shit.
But
that wasn't a legal deer.
Yeah,
I'm in trouble.
But yeah, he got practice killed.
So, anyway, so Sunday, around 7-ish, 7:30, whatever, I hear something behind me. So, I kind of turn my body, look a little bit, and, oh, there's a deer. That's a doe. That's a big doe. And all of a sudden, it's behind a hedge tree. All of a sudden, it moves its head. I'm like, oh, shit, that's a buck. That's a big buck. That's the one from last night. And so, he's standing there. He didn't notice me or nothing, but he kind of just starts walking away. I'm like, crap. He's walking. I'll never see him again in my life.
Did you explain to people where you and I were in relation to each other?
We were probably 60 yards away.
I would say more like 80, wouldn't you?
60 or 80. It don't matter.
Yeah.
I'm sitting over my food plot. And
your old math does not add up from the text messages.
Listen. Listen to the story.
Okay, I'm listening.
So he's walking away. I thought it was just him. So I snort wheeze at him. Give him the snort wheeze, and I kind of, there's a little bit of an opening where I can just see a deer. It's not like I can take a shot or nothing, but you can see movement. So I see him kind of making a turn towards me. I'm like, sweet, this is gonna work. Then I noticed that there was a doe in front of him, and he was on that doe. While he was back there, and he was still walking away, I text Nathan. I was like, rattle, do something, make a call, get him to come this way.
Which I did not read the text message in time, because by that time, I had already seen the buck come behind me.
Yeah. So the doe walks out, and she skirts the edge of my food plot, which is about 30 yards, 30 to 35, and he's following right behind her. And he takes a path just on the outside, like on the brush, back in the brush. There's a little path that I had just from mowing, a little path that goes behind some brush.
I bet you wish you didn't mow that.
Right. And if he follows the doe, I'm going to have about a 40-yard shot. Open, perfect shot. Doe walks on by. He keeps walking, and all of a sudden he just stops. And he just keeps on looking at her, and he's looking back, and he's looking in the field itself. He's not looking at me, and the wind's perfect. The wind's blowing away from him. I know he didn't smell me, but he just starts acting weird, and he's just going back and forth, just like in this little 2-3 yards. He's just moving back and forth. He's wanting to follow the doe. I know he is, but for whatever reason, he doesn't. I thought at first that maybe he got on the trail that I walked through to get into my stand after dropping Nathan off, but he didn't. He was still a few yards away from it. Not saying he couldn't have smelled me from there. I don't think
he would have. Well, we both smelled like freaking vanilla.
Yeah. Anyways. So
we'll get to that. Don't worry.
So Nathan can see him at this point probably. And he's just kind of bugs out. And he's like, you know what? I'm out of here. And he starts walking the other way. And then Nathan can tell his part.
Well, I mean, I see him. He kind of go like, if I'm sitting in a tree stand and to my right and behind me and to my left and behind me, just let's say if I'm in the middle of a clock, he worked between 4 and 8, like 2 times, just yeah. Boom, 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 just like a, not a run, but like a hard trot. And then he would stop and his head would go back and forth looking for her, looking for whatever was going on, which we'll talk about one thing that we think might have hurt, maybe. But we don't know. And then he'd go back, and at that point, he worked. I didn't have a shot. I was about 30 yards or so from him, in between Micah and him, or not in between. He was in between Micah and I at that point, and he was behind me. There was no shot. That was the one spot a deer could not be for me to take a shot. It was too brushy. So he moves off, and as he's – something freaked him out. Our wind didn't – wasn't it, but I don't know. Might have been a snort wheeze. But
I'm thinking I think I screwed up by doing the snort wheeze. I wouldn't have done that if I would have known that he was on that doe. And I would have just let the doe dictate where he was going anyways. But I didn't know. I didn't know she was there at first. So that's what. And he was walking away when I first saw him. I'm like, shit, he's working his way that way. So, I mean.
Yeah.
It kind of makes me think that maybe that snort wheeze kind of freaked him out. Because
he was looking for a buck.
He was looking for a deer and didn't see one. So I don't know if that wigged him out a little bit. I don't know.
And he finally got to the trail that we walked into the timber on that morning. And right at that trail is about a 40-yard shot. And once again, no shooting lane. And he put his nose down. I think he smelled our ground scent and he bugged out.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he was within 30 yards of both of us, 30, 35 yards of both of us, and just neither of us could get a shot off. I think you're right.
I think the snort wheeze bugged him out.
And, you know, a snort wheeze is a pretty aggressive, like, that's an aggressive thing to do, right?
Yeah.
And there was nothing before it. Mm. Not a grunt. You know, it was just
straight. Yeah, I probably should have had my grunt tube out. Maybe tried that one first.
It's hard to say when it's all happening within 30 seconds.
Right.
You know, like, you're freaking out, and you're like...
Have you ever had a snort wheeze work? Because it has never worked for me.
They've
always turned and walked away.
I had one come straight into me at yours that I couldn't take a shot on because he came straight in and then stood right behind some bushes until he figured out something was up.
If it's got to be the right buck, mm-hmm. I think. Like, I had an instance today where I guarantee you it would have worked if I was hunting, but I wasn't. I was actually driving. No, this is crazy. So
he called me.
I called him. I was on the phone while this was all going down. But we'll finish our story first. So he bugs out, whatever. But the cool thing, another cool thing that happened, me and Nathan, we get down and we're walking out and we take a different path. And Nathan's like, stop, 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 stop. So I look up. I'm like, oh, crap. We see a bobcat, I don't know, 30, 20 yards.
20 yards.
Just kind of looking at us. And it had something in its mouth. And it just drops it and leaves.
Takes off.
I'm like, oh, that was cool. Okay, so we walk up there. The thing had just killed a rabbit. And the rabbit wasn't even dead yet. And
it's literally like twitching.
Yeah, twitching. You could see where it was holding on to its neck.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I put a reel up, I think.
Yeah.
So people might have saw it. But that was pretty neat. I went that evening, and I saw one deer. So,
yeah,
not much happened.
The best part is when we left, I was like, hold on, hold on. So you were going to let me shoot that buck? And you were like, yeah. I'm like, so you've been hunting here for how many years? And I went there for like one day, and I would have shot the biggest deer that was ever been there. What'd you say?
I was like, well, you'd never be able to hunt there again. You get one freebie. That's it. Use it wisely.
Would have been worth it.
He was a good deer, man.
He is a good
chocolate
deer.
Rack. I mean, just gorgeous.
Yeah. I mean, one of the most beautiful chocolate racks I've ever seen.
Yeah. But
he was a gorgeous deer.
As I was getting...
What are we looking at? Pictures right now?
Did you just get this one? Yep. Dude.
Micah says, yep.
He's a stud.
I haven't seen that deer for a long time.
That's a good deer.
And he just showed back.
Holy hell.
Guess he's dying going tomorrow.
Out, going out in the morning?
Mm-hmm. I have tomorrow off.
There you go.
Yeah. But, yeah, that was pretty fun, man.
It was.
And
it was.
You know what's been cool is every time you and I have hunted together.
We've always had something.
Something's usually. Happened.
And that's what I was playing that in my head. I was like, how cool is that going to be? I'm hoping I kill it, honestly.
Sure.
Sorry. I'm like, how cool is that?
Vice versa.
Nathan's right here. He's going to kind of witness it all. I mean, it would have been a great story.
Yeah.
I mean, it still was a good story because you had a close encounter with hell of a deer.
What would have been really cool, and Andy can tell this, but he, at the exact same time,
yeah,
almost could have killed a deer. So, like, we could have had two good bucks dead in a matter of 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't effed up, A.A. Ron.
But what I was getting at is, was alluding to that story earlier. So today I just dropped my daughter off at school. I'm on my way to work, and in this big cornfield that's off of a major, you know, state highway, whatever you want to call it, not I-70 or nothing, but
state highway's correct.
Yeah. State highway. I see three deer. I'm like, that's weird. Never seen deer in this field before. I mean, it's nothing but cornfield shelled, obviously. You know, I get closer. I'm like, that's a doe. Then I look behind her. Oh, that's a buck. Then there was another little dinker buck behind him. I'm like, I'm going to turn around. I got my binoculars. So I turn off on this road, and I pull my binoculars, and it's a stud of an 8-pointer. And he's on the tail of this doe, and the doe gets into the waterway and just beds down. And so I'm sitting there, and he keeps on chasing off this other buck that keeps on coming in. And then he would chase him off. And then another buck comes from the timber, which is a few hundred yards away, and starts doing the same thing. He was another little dinker. But these deer, each of them, they would just take turns trying to go after this doe, and this big one would just keep on chasing them off. That's the one I guarantee you, if you snort wheeze at him, he's coming in.
Oh, yeah,
he was just aggressive.
Was pissed.
But, dude, he was a hell of an 8-point. I mean, he was upper 140s, low 150s 8-point. One of the biggest 8-points I've seen.
That's
on the
monster.
He was gigantic.
Yeah, it's one like
the and I was talking to Nathan the whole time, or for most of it. I even called a guy from work after I got off the phone with Nathan. I was like, he was on his way in too. I'm like, hey man, you want to see a big deer? He's like, yeah, I do. So I told him where is that. So we both, I mean, there's cars whizzing by, and this deer did not give a crap. You know, we're both standing outside the truck, got our binoculars on him, and he's just pushing these bucks off.
Like, I think the difference between like him and the deer that we hunted is he was in the middle of a fight already, right? So like he was expecting to get punched, let's say, right? Whereas the deer we were hunting was just doing stuff, and then he got punched in the face.
Well, he was on that doe.
You know what I'm
saying?
I mean,
he was 6 yards behind her, you know? So I don't know if that doe was in heat, getting ready to be getting real close.
It out, yeah. I bet she's in heat because they wouldn't be coming if it wasn't all three
but
of them.
But what I'm saying is
I'm talking about the one that we had an encounter with
Sunday. Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was interested in her,
right?
You know? But
he didn't have a dude fighting him for her at that moment. Whereas all of a sudden we were like, hey, let's fight.
And you know what I'm saying? He could have just been a pussy.
Well, there is those deer.
Because just from the trail cameras I've gotten in years past, I got a lot of deer that get broke up. So, like, broken up antlers and stuff. So, there's got to be some a-holes around that just, you know, probably kick some tail. Like, I got this one big eight. The one that came in, you know, a few weeks ago that my buddy ruined. He gets broke up every year. He's got one of his G.
Takes me back to what the show we did with Blake Garrett.
Yeah.
Where he talked about, like, you don't want to have all those because
I get
they
it.
Do that.
Yep. That makes sense because every year I get deer that get broke up real bad.
Yeah.
So
get some calcium. Get that lucky buck.
Lucky buck's in there now, so hopefully
is
next
year. Is he broke
year,
up this year?
Huh?
Is he broke up this year?
My 8-point is.
Oh.
Yeah. He's already got.
He's a fighter, man.
He is. Last year he broke off every time. It was just beams. That's all he had. just beams. I had one. He was a hell of a deer. I don't know how he broke it because his left side was just mass. I mean, he had tons of mass on his left side, but he broke it off after his G1. No, his G2. So he has, you know, his brow tine, then his G1. Or is that the G2?
G1.
G2. G1's his brow tine.
Okay, so his G2. Then the main beam.
Oh, I remember that. I remember that picture, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was broke off.
That's crazy.
So, I got some asshole deer around me, apparently.
So, I mean, you've had opportunities.
Yeah.
Andy's had opportunities.
Yeah, let's get into your stuff.
There's been a few. I've probably hunted the least amount this year I have in a long time. Just new baby and just been busy.
Yeah, busy.
Farmer listener, 94.1 KFKF on the radio.
Come on now.
Told you it's 103.9.
I don't
curly.
Listen to our podcast.
I don't have the ability to in the tractor.
Need to get us that
down. Does it got a radio?
It has a radio, yeah.
And you're telling me it doesn't have an auxiliary cord plug-in?
No.
I feel like you're lying.
Hey, the grain cart does, though.
The grain cart does. I'm not in the grain cart. And 90% of the time, I'm either in the semi or I'm in the combine. So what now?
Headphones.
Your
Bluetooth.
Then you can't hear the machine run, and then my father will rip my ass out of that.
But
thing.
He can jam 94.1 KFKF.
Okay, what do you need to hear?
Yeah, and when it quits going, you better stop.
I'm pretty sure. I mean, I haven't been in one personally, but I just feel like you would know whenever the thing's not working right. I feel like it would feel different, you know, driving it. Like I know when I got a flat tire. You know.
I don't even know why I like you fuckers.
I don't think you do.
I don't think I do either. But no, I have some decent ones. My biggest ones, they've disappeared on me here over the last month.
Until about 5 seconds ago.
Yeah. I haven't had a picture of him in a while. But honestly, in that picture, he's walking straight to the neighbors.
Who gives a shit? Well, I mean, not the whole neighbor part, but at that moment, he was on your property.
It makes me happy to know that he's alive and well.
Yeah. I think that's part of it, is knowing he's not dead yet.
Well, speaking of that, so it's been a little bit now. I had a good 9-point come in, and it was one of the first couple times I got to go out and set. And there's at least two other on the property bigger, and I thought he was one of them when he was walking in. I got super excited, and I heard him first. I heard this deer and another deer fighting. I could just hear the tines, you know, hitting each other. And finally, I picked out movement probably 100 yards through the timber. Well, I waited a little bit for their fight to end. And then real light just kind of hit the racks. And they didn't really, like, really run. They slowly just worked their way in. And he was coming behind that smaller one. And I got the binoculars out, and I finally was like, that's not the one I thought it was. That's still a good one. And then I just have a rule: if it doesn't get my heart pumping, I leave it alone. Well, I don't know if it's just because it wasn't the one I thought it was, and so there's I just wasn't just jacked.
Right.
I was like, all right, I'll just watch him for a minute and see. And he didn't give me the best opportunity, but I did have a couple shot opportunities at him. And I ended up letting him walk. I think hindsight, I probably shouldn't have. He was probably a 140 plus 9 point.
Oh, nice.
Older deer. I mean, he wasn't young. He's probably at least 4. Probably should have shot him. But I think I heard yesterday, if he's the same deer, I think he is. A guy a couple properties away, if it's the same deer, shot him and did not recover him.
Oh, damn.
Got an arrow in the shoulder, it sounds like, and they tracked him for a long time, went to call a dog in, and the lady analyzed the blood, looked at it, and she said she wasn't even going to run her dog on it because she was positive it was a shoulder shot. That's the rumor I heard. That's all. I haven't talked to the guy myself.
Don't know factual yet.
Yep. But so the chance that one is not going to be back, or it could push him right back. I don't know. Hopefully it makes it. But
hey, when you shoulder shot a deer, it moved.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll move back your way.
Yeah, well, it did. It bounced it like a whole section over.
Yeah, because he got shot.
Right? That was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I think I did that. I hit that one in the shoulder, and then it was two years ago, I hit it in the shoulder, and last year, the guy that hunts like a whole section away is like, hey, do you need, and I have some pretty good neighbors where I hunt, and it's getting better and better to where we're starting to trust each other a little more, and we'll compare pictures.
I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
Exactly. And we'll share some pictures, and we started to kind of, a shoot, no shoot list.
That's good.
And
that's always nice to have with the neighbors.
It is. And honestly, today it came into play, really. But anyway, he ended up showing me this picture, like, hey, check this out. And I knew immediately as soon as I seen it, there's this kicker coming off of one side. I'm like, that's him. He was way – he put on another 15 inches, probably of antler. Like, that's him. He went from like a 150s to a 180 probably.
Yep.
Now this year he hasn't shared any pictures of him. I don't know if he's still there or not.
Because he's 200 inches.
He probably didn't. I don't know. Maybe he's not. Whatever. That 9 point he walked. I've seen a real nice 8 that I don't have any pictures of. He came out probably a week ago now, a week and a half ago. And there's 2 does in the field, and all of a sudden they got super nervous. And he came out and checked both of them. He chased them a little bit, and then he walked in the timber himself once they didn't want to really play. He's like, I'm not chasing you guys around. Forget it. And he just left. He was real tall, not very wide, real good mass. And I think me and Micah share the same sentiment. I'm a big sucker for a big 8.
Oh, I
don't know. There's something about them. It's just they don't score well. But it's something
they look
about
good,
they
man.
Do. They just look nice and just
clean.
Proportionate. I know, clean. Yeah.
I'm trying to find a picture of my 8 that I I'm one of the 8s I'm after, but my shit's not loading.
So I seen a couple decent deer, and then there was one day that I was walking, is right after Zach Farenball's episode about ground hunting. I was walking into a stand and just kind of listened to some of that. And I was slowly just moving real nice and slow, trying to get into my stand. And I told this last week, I think, or week before last. I was almost
to where I was going to walk across the field. It could only be one of those 2 possibilities.
Once again. Anyway, ran into this real wide buck on the ground. Couldn't get a shot at him. And I actually, it was a couple of days ago, I was in the stand. The same day that you guys had that deer running around, I had 4
within
does.
10 minutes.
It was, yeah. I had 4 does out in this bean field, and they're just kind of browsing around, and they started doing the same thing. Well, in the 5th one, there's one run like alongside the timber, and it would run out into the bean field, and it would walk back in. Run out into the bean field, walk back. I was like, there is something out there. Like, what in the world is going on? Like, there has to be a buck in there just bumping it. And it's staying inside the timber. Before long, out he walks. He walked out, and it was that same real wide one. And he was probably 100, 120 yards out at the time. And he was staying with all those does. I said, you know what? He rattled in once before. I wonder if he'll do it again.
Yeah.
And so I just real light just started hitting him. And I slowly got louder until I seen his ears perk up. He started looking, and I just kind of kept it there for just a second. And then he took about 3-4 good real hard steps. Well, then he started running across this bean field towards me. I'm like, oh, crap, okay, I got to do something. Well, then you stop, right? So I stop. I put my racks down. I grab my bow because I thought he was going to run straight to the tree. I grab my bow, and he makes it about halfway, 3/4 of the way there, gets about 60, 70 yards out. And he just takes a left and goes into the woods.
So you send it.
I sent it, right? But no, he disappears for a while. And then, you know, I just kind of stayed quiet. I think I grunted maybe a time or two. And before long, I see him just moving out, you know, through the thick brush. And he's circling me, going to go get my wind. He's looking for the fight. And he's circling where he thinks it was. And he ends up coming pretty much straight in downwind from me. And he's got my wind. He's got everything. And then I see.
Isn't that weird?
Hey,
like,
he did.
Some deer, you'll see them just like some deer, you'll see them just catch a whiff of you, and
I will
other
say,
ones, it's just like they don't care.
I did. I use this scent thief. I had a friend of mine give me a bunch of it.
Spray.
Yep. And I did really good that morning about my scent control. I sprayed when I got my clothes on, got in the truck, sprayed when I got out of the truck. And I just do this thing. I take a buck bomb, the Doe Estrus buck bomb, and I spray the bottom of my boots. Every time I get out of the truck, I spray the bottom of my boots. I walk to my stand.
So you smell like piss.
My boots do. Well, my boots
that
do.
Might be better than that freaking nose jammer. I'm not trying to talk shit on nose jammer. Micah made me put that on the other day.
It might affect
it. I felt like I was in a Bed Bath & Beyond.
I love the smell of it.
I like a vanilla smell, so I probably like it.
It smells good.
It was vanilla, yes. And I could smell it. You sprayed it on yourself when I was still getting ready in the morning. I'm like, what the hell is that? It's nose jammer. Come here.
It's supposed to jam their nose.
It jammed my nose is the problem. So, like, the entire morning we were hunting, I felt like I was sitting in a what's that freaking place where you can go buy all those? I smelled it all day while we were hunting.
Yeah. Maybe I got a little extra.
And I'm like, what's that place where you buy all the damn candles and, like, the little soaps?
Bed Bath & Beyond.
Is that what that is? Okay. Yeah. Bath & Body Works.
He's trying to act like he doesn't know now.
No, I know that she gets the soap from there. Bath & Body Works. I felt like I was in a Bath & Body Works all damn day.
I've used it, and I like it in the fact, because I've seen it work on does and little bucks. Not saying they're obviously big bucks are big bucks for a reason. But I have this one trail. If I'm hunting one stand, I'll walk on this one trail. So I'll spray that in, and I will have deer walk the exact same trail 30 to an hour, whatever the case may be, walking down, sniffing that stuff and loving it whatever. They just do not care.
And that's,
does it work? I don't know. In that instance, it works.
And that's why I put that bug bomb on the bottom of my boots when I walk in. I've seen deer walk my same path. And what I've noticed is if I let my clothes touch branches, so my pants will brushing it, they'll pick that up. But if I can manage to walk a trail and only, you know, I'm only, it's a wide trail, bottom of my feet's the only thing hidden, I can get by.
Yeah.
As soon as I walk through like a little opening and something brushes, it's like that scent will knock off on it. I don't know. So I've seen that work. But he circles me, comes in, downwind. There's a little buck with him now. It actually worked perfect because I rattled in two bucks. This one circles, and a little one ran straight to me and was sitting in the field. So as he circles, he now sees this other little buck, and I think that saved me because he was looking and starting to get nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's a little buck walking into the timber. I had the wind on the little buck.
Mm-hmm.
That calmed the big buck down. Well, and then when the little buck got in there, he was calm because you can tell he started sniffing. He was calm because the big buck was there. So I think they confused each other, honestly.
Right.
And it was a perfect scenario. The bigger one gets in there, and I probably misjudged him the other day on the ground because adrenaline. You know, I had a lot more time to look at him this time. And the way his rack is situated on his head, it kind of cocks back a little bit, but the points go forward. So it doesn't look like he has really long tines, just because they're from the top of his head, they don't go very far.
Because they're kind of almost
right
lower
the rack's cocked back, but the tines are cocked forward. So if you look from the height of his head, it's not very tall.
Mm-hmm.
but the length of them actually do come pretty far forward. And so at first, I'm like, man, I don't know if this is the one I want to shoot. I'm looking at his body, trying to get an age. He's got a big body. I'm in that in-between stage like I kind of was on that 9-point. So I was like, I
you
may.
You know what? I'm going to send it.
Well, I have a video and I sent it to you guys. I have my phone out and I'm watching him walk behind me. And he turns and walks at me. And the spread on this thing.
Oh,
I'm
my,
like,
yeah. Because the first picture you sent us, or was it a both videos?
I think I had a picture and a video. And the video, as he walks by, you're like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. That's a cool buck.
Yep.
And then he turns. And you can tell that probably the exact moment where I changed my mind, because the video stops about 3 seconds later.
Oh, yeah. Because as soon as he turns,
walks to me, picks his head up, and his width is just like, I'm like,
4 foot, man. Like, he looks like he's, yeah.
Now, you know, I tell you when it gets your heart, but all of a sudden my heart got pounded. I'm like, yep. So I grabbed my bow, and he's walking to me.
I think what I said on the text thread was, your pants got tighter.
I believe that's right. but the problem is, I was jacking with my phone, videotaping him with my phone, right? I missed the best shooting lane I had on him because I was putting my phone away and getting my bow. He then continues to walk, and I'm drawn now. I have another shooting lane. I stop him. Well, in my peep, I cannot see there's this hedge tree, and they all have these little dead branches hanging straight down almost. Mm-hmm. I shoot. It nips one of them and clips one of them, we'll call it. Yep. And I can see the arrow. I have lighted nox.
Yeah.
I can see just that little change in trajectory. I mean, I was trajectory. I had him. It was right at him. I was like, oh crap. I mean, just a little deflection, and it really kind of didn't. It flattened the arrow out.
Yeah.
And you could just see it go right over his back. He didn't. He ran like 10 hard steps and stopped right behind the big hedge tree. I had time to rack another arrow, stand there, or rack another arrow and get ready.
Mm-hmm.
He walks away. That little buck had no idea what happened. He's still like wandering around, like, well, what are you doing over there? And that big one's like, so I grunt at him. Well, then he kind of like starts looking. And I couldn't ask for more perfect. He walks away. Little buck walks away. I'm like, oh, crap, there it goes. 2 minutes later, a doe comes through. Here he comes, walking past that doe. He comes to 40 yards. And he's facing me, and he's starting to – he's smelling now. He's straight downwind. And he's looking, and it's like he, like, just looked up at my tree and just stared, just stood there for I don't know how long. And then he kind of got comfortable again. I was like, he's going to walk over here again. He's going to give me the exact same shot. I'm going to have to be, you know, watch that branch. But instead –
he already broke it, so you're good.
Instead, he literally just does a 180 where he's standing, does a clean 180 – and walks back behind the brush he came from. And I could see him through the woods chase that doe a little bit more. Yeah. And but he wasn't spooked.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah, that sucks.
And then, after that, see, this morning I snuck out. I was laying in bed wide awake, 5:30. I'm like, I got time before work. I can get a little 45-minute hunt in. And I snuck in, and I had a nice 8 come in. And we were talking about the neighbors. You know, we had that kind of share the pictures back and forth, and he had just talked to me the night before and said that he had a nice 8 come in, looked like a young deer, has a split G2. That is a genetic trait, actually, that's been out there for a couple years, and there was one, I think I called him Crown a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. I had passed on him as probably a 3-year-old, passed on him as a 4-year-old, as a 5-year-old, he blew up. And
oh, that neighbor boy killed him.
I can't remember. I think it was the second Sunday of deer rifle season last year. A neighbor on like a diagonal property ended up killing him. I think it went 172, 174.
Yeah, wow. I remember that.
So this deer has the same genetic trait as that deer did. That deer started out as the 8-point split G2. The next year he went to a heavy 10 with that split G2. And then after that, he was a big, I mean, he got more mass, more width, everything. So I'm hoping, we both agreed that's a no shoot. There's one neighbor. We're not real sure what he'll do. He's kind of a wild card. We'll see. But and then the other neighbor across the road, me and him started sharing more pictures this year too, and I don't think he'll shoot him either. So I think he'll have a good chance next year. But he came in this morning to about 40, and I think one grunt he would have turned. He was kind of coming in looking. I just let him walk by at 40. I didn't honestly have a clean shot at him, but I didn't try to get one either. Try to see if he'd turn. So he was fun to watch. Walked out, made a big old scrape, regress. I mean, he started pawing. I thought he was going to punch himself in the face after a while. But seeing him, so I'm seeing good activity. I'm being quasi-picky, I guess, on – and I enjoy being out there, enjoy, like you guys. I mean, you enjoy seeing them.
Oh, yeah. As long as I'm seeing them, I'm happy.
Right.
Wife's not happy, but I'm happy.
Yeah, yeah. My wife said, why aren't you shooting already?
Yeah.
Funny, I had that my wife said the can you just hurry up and shoot once we can get on with our lives?
Yeah.
I was talking to my wife today. She's like, I feel like you just don't shoot them just so you can go sit out in the woods by yourself for a little bit.
Believe me, that is not
I'm
it.
Like,
I'm not saying that's not a small part of the reason.
Yeah. And then I'll make mine fast. I mean, my year's been kind of weird, actually. The weirdest year I've ever had is because I've hunted on the ground probably more than I've hunted in a tree stand. I've hunted public land for the first time in forever, several times, and mostly because I just – this year I don't have the deer on camera, although that changed today, that I normally would, so I've kind of stayed out of my spots, you know, left them alone. You know, why go in there and make noise and put my scent in there and educate some does on what I'm doing if – I don't think I have an opportunity of killing something. I did start hunting one of the farms a little harder this last week because I took off. You know, like, you can't just take off a day the day before you want to take it off. You got to, like, pre-plan your paid time off, right? So I usually take time off the 2 weeks before rifle season. So I took them off. Well, I'm off. I'm going to go hunting. So I haven't been successful. I mean, I was hunting on the ground two nights ago, and I had two deer come within 20 yards. I practice killed the shit out of a dink again. That felt good because, you know, I'm eye level with this deer, and so I practiced, you know, like Zach said in his show with us, practiced, you know, when to move, when to draw, you know, when to be ready so that he doesn't catch you moving at those times, and it was perfect. He had no idea I was there.
And that's fun because, like, honestly, you didn't have to kill him, but you won. You won that hunt.
Oh, yeah, like, I felt good. It was like, hey, actually, that was a cool hunt because I was walking in, and about 100 yards away, straight in front of me where I was going to, I see something move. I thought it was a bird at first. I'm like, oh, that kind of looked like a whitetail's tail, like a flicker. So I pull my binos out, and I'm like, yep, that's a buck. It was just this little dink fork horn. So I'm like, I'm going to see if I can actually get into him. And he moved, so I moved at the same time he moved. The wind picked up. I moved when the wind picked up to try to – it had just rained the night before, so it was kind of quiet. And I got just on the other side of this food plot from him, and I got within 30 yards of him on the ground. And then I knew what he was, so I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go set up now. So I waited for him to move off the way he was going, and then I went and set up where I was going to do that night. So that was cool. And then I went again the night. Didn't see – I saw a doe, but – we'll see. I got a good picture on the old camera today, so I'm going to go hunt him, hopefully. And then the night, Thursday night, I'm hoping to be able to get out before it starts raining to a new spot in a farm I haven't touched yet. But other than that, that's really all I've had. I obviously had that thing happen with Micah.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was really cool.
And I really want to, like, just – this is going to be the first time you're here – during rifle season.
Yeah, I am not going up north this year, at least for the opening weekend. So,
right.
Not sure about the following weekend yet, but we'll see. So, things will be a little different.
I really want you to come on a track with one of us, or us come help you track a deer for the first time, because you've never been a part of any of them, because you're always gone.
That's true.
So, I'm ready for that.
Yeah, no, that'll be good. Hopefully, you really don't have to track and you find them.
Well, yeah, that would be ideal. You think those are tines right there?
Yeah.
that and that.
I think he's solid. That's solid. I think he's a shooter for sure.
I think, yeah. That's I mean, look around his eye. I mean, I obviously, sorry, listeners, but we're looking at a picture.
We're looking at trail cam pics.
You know, aging a deer on his system. I got
I guess this is him.
My nephew. My nephew sent me a video of probably a 140, high 140s, 10 point, staring him in the face like 20 yards.
Really?
And I'm like, dude, tell me you shot that deer.
Pat, clean. You know, talking about clean eights, liking clean eights.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't in the middle of the story.
Sorry.
No, thanks.
That's him.
So, yeah, our listeners are really. I was listening.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Micah.
Me and Pat are having our own side conversation.
Shoot that in a heartbeat.
Yeah. But I said, tell me you shot that deer. He's like, man, I think he's young. I was like, are you sure? Like, I wasn't even looking. And honestly, after looking at it, I mean, props to him because he, yeah, if you look at his face, you look at his chest. I don't know.
Who was it?
My nephew, Kellen.
Okay, Kellen.
Yep.
I mean, he's killed some bruisers. So.
He's done pretty well. He's done pretty well.
He knows what he's doing out there.
And, I mean, like that deer Nate was pulling up. I mean, I'm going to look at his eyes, like that white circle. I feel like that kind of tells you a little bit. Well, yeah, I don't know.
It makes it feel like they're a little older for some
reason. It makes
you
feel like it. That nose, I think you start to see
it. Roman nose, man.
And then that chest, like that big brisket out in the front.
Yeah. I call them their titties.
And their belly swell.
Well, it's definitely not anywhere close to his titties.
I know, but it's just like you got the saggy titties.
You guys look at way more than I do. If it gets me excited, I'm sending it.
I mean, ultimately.
I don't look at anything else. If I
ultimately, it comes down to that, but.
Right.
If I get excited and it's legal, guess what?
I'm going to send it.
Send it.
See the dough party right there. Yeah, but yeah, we're looking at pictures still, sorry. But that's been our season so far, mid-season setup. I mean, we've had a good year. We've all got to hunt, you know. Just haven't had the things go our way quite yet. I don't think anybody's discouraged here.
No, I've had, honestly, I feel like I had a pretty good year. I have, I mean, decent deer on camera. I've seen some decent deer with my eyes. I don't know, just a matter of being right place, right time. Just haven't been there yet.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of just.
Micah, I feel like that's the story of the season for you. Like, the days you hunt, you're either in the stand that.
Wrong stand.
They show up on the camera on the other one.
Or wrong day.
Or, you can hunt on Monday and he's not there. Tuesday morning, there he was. You're there Tuesday night. Tuesday morning, there he was.
Right.
Like, you're within hours and minutes of connecting.
Hey, if it's just like my story last year, you will kill something Saturday. Because that happened to me last year. I was there one night. Next night, he'd be there. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then November 13th, a different one died, but still one I was after. So, I kind of hope it doesn't happen, but at the same time, how cool would it be Saturday, which is opening morning of rifle season in Missouri for us, if all four of us were like, I killed something, I killed something, I killed something. How would we, like, coordinate that?
It's going to be a really sweet picture at the
you
end.
You start loading them up. And
dude, yeah, you got to get all those together.
There's no field dressing on site. You just load it up.
Load it up and gut it.
Hopefully at some place you can get the four-wheeler or a little baby truck, too. And
the golf cart. A
little baby truck.
I like using baby truck during deer season because when you put a deer in the back of it,
it makes it look bigger.
It's got like a, what, 4.5 foot bed,
deer
little
is
S10.
Huge. Taking up the whole thing.
You can plop one in there, the rack sticks out of the bed, drive through town, everybody's like, oh, that's a big deer.
No, I'm hoping to get my archery kill out of the way Friday.
Yeah, I'd rather
like
do
said,
that.
Like I said, I'm going Friday morning. And if I kill something, I'll be like, hey, guys, I'm going to be late. It's going to be super late.
Yeah.
I hope. And you know what? I might
make some phone
in.
Calls. I'm off work.
Yeah. I'm going tomorrow.
I'm off work.
Tomorrow night and Thursday night because I can't go tomorrow morning or Thursday morning. So.
So Saturday, in honor of the last episode, what's everybody taking? What's their rifle of choice?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I know my answer. I was thinking about that today, actually. Go ahead.
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Six arc.
Is that because it's your best choice? Because
it's not a freaking 300 Win Mag, and it's my best choice.
Okay.
Best choice.
Yeah.
I do have a 30-06, but
it's too pretty. It's more of a collector's for you.
Plus, that 6 arc is nails right now. And also, I do have two young boys to think about, mm-hmm. and it's a lighter weight gun. It's an easier gun to manipulate. It's got a good trigger, solid glass on it, Athlon optics, and
And I think it's one of those things you're comfortable with it right
now. And
it's
a 103 grain bull. I mean, it's going to kill a deer. It's, you know, very similar to a 243 in that case.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Six arcs going. If I take a rifle, if I go to another your place that I hunt, I'm going to take a bow because it's a freaking 30-yard shot again.
I still think that's the dumbest decision.
I know you say that.
It is dumb.
It's pretty stupid.
You're dumb.
It but bit you, me. Hey, man, you do
real
you.
Hard.
What are you doing, Pat? What are you taking?
Yeah, we take it.
I don't know. I haven't made a decision yet.
What are the options?
Yeah.
270, a 7 mag, or a 6.5.
Hey, guess what? Those were all on the list.
Yep. Yeah. Good. I don't think you can go wrong with about any of them.
The problem with I have, though, the 7 mag is my brother's, and you can shoot once, and the bolt doesn't like to come back.
You have, because that was a defect in the Remington 700s of that
model. Well, typically, you shoot those once anyway, and you're laying on the ground afterwards.
Yes,
so.
Typically. I guess it kind of depends on where I hunt. If I hunt my normal stand, most of my shots are 50 yards or less.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm leaning, I think, more towards the 6.5.
Yeah.
Just because I've shot it more over the last year and a half.
Right.
Honestly, that's what you're the most comfortable with.
Honestly, couldn't tell you the last time the 270 shot.
I think that's what you just said. What are you most comfortable with?
Yeah.
Because out of those three rifles, they're going to all do it.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you shoot best with? That's what I'd be taking.
Yeah. I don't know about best. I'm not really good with a rifle. As you can tell, the coyote.
Well, you're not good with countdowns. Yeah. Or wait, did we count down?
No, there was
that
no
a countdown? Or was that just I see a coyote? Boom!
I see a coyote. Boom!
Andy was trying to say where.
Yeah,
I got a little excited. Okay.
Hey, it's better than I love the last week. 3-2, boom!
Oh dang, Micah!
Me and Senior Tinker could, you know, me and him would have some fun.
We'd start the damn countdown.
We'd be the ones killing
everything. Question, do you shoot on one then? Like, to beat him? Like, I don't know.
It's just a surprise every time. Boom. We're like, there they are. Bam.
I'm going to shoot someplace between one and three. Okay, guys?
Yeah. Y'all figure it's a surprise every time. So, y'all figure it out.
Micah, what are you taking?
So, Saturday morning, I'm probably going to be in the timber. So, I'm going to take my 6.5 Grendel.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if I don't get anything in the morning, I'm probably
going to. That's 140 grain?
123
grain.
Yeah, 123. If I don't do anything, then I'll plan on taking my son with me because he's been begging the crap out of me to go.
Oh my god, that's not gonna go well.
It's not. But so if I do that, I'm gonna sit,
love you, Lawson.
I'm gonna sit in our blind and I'll take my Creedmoor, 6.5 Creedmoor.
A little longer for that. Shots.
Yeah,
or?
I mean, longest shot's gonna be 100 yards either way.
So yeah,
in the timber, it's more likely 60 yards sort
but
of
your
thing.
Grendel is probably a little smaller frame.
Exactly.
We'll give you a little
it's
more.
It's AR platform. I mean, it's pretty much an AR-15. It's an AR-15 platform, so pretty small, easy to pack in there.
Yep.
No
easy
problems.
To swing around in the stand in the timber, get some,
Yep, right. Yep, exactly my thoughts. So, what about you?
I think I'm probably going to end up taking the 6.5.
I thought you were 7 mag if I had to do it.
If I did, honestly, 7 mag is my favorite.
Zombie apocalypse.
I just have a newer 6.5. Actually, I bought it from Pat. I don't know. Look, I'll be honest with you. I can put my suppressor on it. It's threaded.
Yeah. That's a game changer.
I
mean, that's,
I have it. I'm going to use it.
Why not? If I'm pissed that I don't have my suppressor yet.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
I mean, that,
thanks.
It's a great gun. Just, I didn't like
it. It was heavy. It's
heavy.
A heavy gun.
It's heavy.
And I'm going to hunt in stands that have shooting rails on it.
Yeah.
And then probably Saturday afternoon, if she wants to, I'm going to take Kendall, my daughter, with me. And
How do you feel that'll go?
Good. We're going to sit in a blind. I mean, so
you think she'll do all right?
Yeah.
See, Lawson.
We'll probably only go for a couple hours. And honestly, with her, snacks.
Right.
That girl can ride in a combine for hours if
she
has enough snacks. Those snacks run out for 2 seconds. She's ready to go.
Yeah. See, my issue, I already know that Brindley, I can take her out. We can sit there for 3 to 4 hours, no problem. Won't hear a peep out of her.
Mm-hmm.
She'll sit there, watch, look, learn.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try to give her little tips here and there. Lawson, it's 7 minutes, and he'll be moving around. He'll be talking. He'll, you know, he just can't sit still.
Dad.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll probably be a situation where I'm going to be taking some headphones.
Why does a squirrel have a tail?
Yeah. I'm going to take some headphones. He's probably going to be watching YouTube Kids or whatever the kids are watching nowadays. That or a handful of snacks for sure.
Yep.
So, but he's been he wants to go so bad, and I feel bad not taking him, but it's because he's terrible out there. Right? He's just he's not old. He's only four. Well, he turns five
soon,
the 15th. So I mean,
it's not like still, he's yeah
right.
Yeah.
So he's just he's a little boy that you know doesn't sit still very well.
Yeah,
so.
I mean that's just part.
That's just part of it.
I know. I'm not taking Bennett. So
I guess I'd tell, speaking of kids, and I tell a story. Tonight I went and I took my mower
again.
And I mowed around this target. I'm going to sight in the gun. I'm going to check my zero on the gun here this week again before we go. And I went and mowed around the target because it's been in crops. I just haven't had time to mow it up. Got it cleaned up. Got the target ready. And I turn around, come back up towards the house. I have my 3D target. I was shooting it from my deck, so it's back behind my house right on the edge of the field. I'm pulling up like, what happened to my target? The head, like the body of it's laying there. The head's over here. The antlers are in a different spot. And I look. I went and parked the skid steer, walked back over to it. I went, there's deer tracks. Are you kidding me? Like I was looking at it, like, there's no way. I said, there's no way. So I picked it up and whatever. I went inside and said, Kendall, did you mess with my target in the yard? She said, no, why would I? And I was like, okay.
First off, drop the attitude.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Listen, you're sassy.
Leave that outside. You're four, not 14. Cool it.
Oh, yeah. Just wait.
And so then I went and asked Kate. I said, hey, you didn't, for some reason, like, get pissed at my target.
And just go hit.
She's like, no. She's like, why? I said, look at it. And it is, like, scattered across the yard. And she goes, that was there at 3 o'clock when I went to go get the kids from school. I was like, well, sometime between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock, it got obliterated from that deer, whoever's tracks that was up there.
Yep.
So I wish I had a camera. Like, I wish I just had a security camera or something. And I have a camera, but it's not pointed over at that angle.
Right.
That would have been bad. I mean, because
that would have been sweet. Man.
It is 40 yards from my deck to that thing because that's where
yard. I mean, it is in your backyard.
Yeah, I shoot it with my bow from my deck. It is 40 yards from my deck to that target. And a buck came up into my yard and just beat the shit out of it, honestly.
Guessing I know which buck it is.
I have a feeling because there's one that popped up on camera tonight.
About 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yep.
That tells you that he is aggressive.
Yeah. Scouting report.
Be prone to call.
Snort wheeze at him. Give him a little rattle.
Take the target with you.
Grab Andy's target out of the way.
Just take it out there with you.
Shove it in the ground and see what happens.
Where I'm going is going to be in a pretty thick area. It's not a bad thing, so it's not going to be. I've always heard you don't want to use a decoy in a thick area. You want them to be able to see it.
Right.
That
makes sense.
Yeah.
Because the one time I did use a decoy in the.
I've heard you always want it facing you.
Yeah.
So they circle
it to
you. Yeah. You want. Yeah.
The one time I did use a decoy in the timber, in the old plot, when the buck come in, he didn't see it until he was, let's say 40 yards, and he bugged out so fast. I have never seen a deer. I swear it's like God himself came down and just went right on the deer's ass. And that deer was like, I am out of here. And I'm like, well, that did not work. So I did some more reading on it, and you want to. Based on what people who use decoys a lot, which that was the only time I've ever used a decoy.
Yeah.
And then it's been sitting in my basement ever since. So if anybody needs a decoy anytime, let me know.
Got I have one in my borrow. Shed as well.
You want them kind of in the open so they can see them and then come to them.
In the open, and I heard not necessarily pointed to you, but pointed away from where you think the deer is going to come. So it circles in front of it. It's going to circle to the downwind side of it. So you want it.
Well, it's also going to circle behind it,
right?
I
heard in front. I mean, it's going to
face it because it's going to face it.
But they what is it? They want to go from the rear, like they want to see their rear, and then I don't know. I did some reading one time. I want to see that ass. I could be wrong, but yeah, I don't know. But I've only used it once, so that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna kill some stuff. And hopefully everybody on this that's listening to us kill some stuff.
I mean, I got a feeling in the next 5 days
somebody's
going to pop off.
I just looked at JuryCast, and starting Friday, it is great, 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 great.
There's only one thing I look at every day. There's only one reason I look at that this time of year, and that's to check my wind directions.
Every day is great. It's the rut.
It's the rut. That's exactly right. I don't give a shit what it says. Yep. Like tomorrow it says it's okay.
Mine says poor.
I do not care.
Yep.
I'm going to go because
I'm going to be there.
It's November 9th.
But also it said, so it changes sometimes like last minute I noticed. So this morning when I looked at it, it said okay for this morning. And now it said it was poor.
Yeah. Yeah. I pay attention to that a little more when it's not November 9th.
Yeah.
But
barometric pressure, I look at.
I look at weather changes. For me, if you can be on the front end or the back end of a weather change within 24 hours, that would be great.
Both
would be great, but if you could make it to one. So, like Thursday, we're supposed to get weather, and I'm really hoping it holds off till Thursday night, and they are really
up. You're going to see Friday morning be just a hot spot.
Could be.
Fingers crossed.
Sounds like we're all hunting Friday.
Well, I'm not hunting Friday morning, unfortunately. But
sucks to suck.
Okay. I realize that I am back to work technically Friday, and I got some meetings in the morning.
Yep.
And then bye-bye. So, yeah, that's our midseason recap. We don't have any awesome kill stories yet like we normally do.
Well, maybe next week we'll have something on the ground.
I got told you guys off the air, but I was working today. I was getting some lunch for the office, and we're standing there, and I look across this, like, three-lane or four, whatever it is. There's a turning lane and a two, whatever, in town, and I see one of my buddies. He's over at this car shop getting an oil change or something. He's standing outside. I went, hey, that's Jacobs. So then I was like, I should, you know.
Same one.
Text him or call him or whatever, see what's up. I haven't talked to him for a while. It's an old buddy I used to play a lot of softball with, travel around everywhere. Well, then I started looking. His car's up on the lift, and, you know, they're working on it. And I was like, what in the heck? He got a luggage rack on there or something. And like, oh, crap, that's a rack. And so I'll try to post this on Facebook or something, give him a shout out here. But, and here, I mean, that's a real nice 9-point, good spread. And so I was like, all right, I got to go see it now. So I jog over there and go talk to him. And he was out on public land and
got it done,
killed a damn nice deer for public land.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is badass.
Props to him.
I'll give a shout out real quick. I had my 15-year class reunion Saturday evening.
Nice.
And a girl that I graduated with, Jennifer Monty, I don't know her last name now because she's gotten married. And I'm sorry, I don't remember your husband's name, but her daughter got her first deer over season. So yeah, awesome. That was pretty cool. So, and her husband listens to the show. So appreciate that.
Yeah. And thank you.
Yeah. So congratulations to you guys.
Shout out to your daughter. It's awesome.
Yep.
Get them started young.
Mm-hmm.
Youth season's something I'd enjoy. I like, I don't know.
It's fun.
Seeing the kids kill them. Yeah. Seeing them get excited.
It's stressful though.
As a parent, I think it is.
Yeah. Like more stressed those 2 days than I am any other time because, well, now I have two sons that are hunting. So then they're always like, I want to go. I don't take them both at the same time.
Trying to balance it.
Which my buddy Dusty takes both boys same time.
Yeah.
And I haven't done it yet. I just can't handle it. I currently don't hunt out of blinds. So I feel like three people is a lot, you know, if I'm going to be in a tree or if we're going to be on the ground. So I've only been taking one of them at a time. And then youth season, it always feels like something's going on.
Yeah.
It's a busy time of year. They need to, like, think about families. It's Halloween weekend a lot of times.
Right.
You know, so.
Or should Halloween
think about. We need to think about youth season.
I'm not talking about anything other than they want a trick or treat, too. I could care less, but. I know they want that candy.
I used to love hunting on Halloween. As soon as they had kids,
I know. This is when monsters come out. That's what I always used to think.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I always enjoyed hunting Halloween, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't get to do that as much.
I haven't got to in 5 years.
Nope, yeah. Me either.
Yep.
Never going to until, Bennett just turned 5. So, how many years is that? At least 10 more?
Give or take.
Yep. So
I thought at like 10, you just turn them loose on their own.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Well, Kylie's going to be old enough to watch him here pretty quick. Well, and she can just take him trick-or-treating.
Yeah. You don't understand how that works, do you? You think that's going to fly with the wife?
And I was like.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck to everybody, boys. Good
Everybody be safe. Wear your orange out there this weekend.
Wear your harnesses.
Or this past weekend and upcoming.
You better have worn your shit last week.
Yeah. Make sure you wear your orange.
Yep.
Harnesses, because we got a picture of a buddy of ours that went to climb up in a stand and just grabbed it to check it, and it fell to the ground.
He did the old shake test. He said he was a couple steps below it, grabbed a hold of it, and shook it, and it fell 15, 20 feet, whatever it is, to the ground.
Not good.
Luckily, he was strapped into his harness. Then he had the
lifeline.
Lifeline going up. So.
Good.
Awesome. All right. I want to go to bed.
All right. See you later.
See you, boys.
See you.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.